The Business on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Electric Ireland. Our business is understanding yours.
Good morning. Coming up, the father of Irish fashion, Paul Costello, the economics of a rhino horn heist, and getting to grips with ghostwriting. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1857 15150, email thebusiness at rte.ie, or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. But first, there were a lot of headlines about pay scales and bonuses this week. Minister for Finance Michael Noonan told AIB's top brass that no way were they going to get a bonus, and that he'd happily shake the hand and wish fair passage to anyone who wanted to leave. Elsewhere, a report published by Morgan McKinsey showed that salaries and benefits have rebounded strongly for the likes of workers in international banks, user experience consultants and supply chain professionals. That report also found that professionals in Dublin make between 8 and 15% more than their counterparts in the rest of the country. So has the time come for workers to start asking for a better slice of the growing economy, or is it still premature to think that pay should rise? We're joined by SIPTU President Jack O'Connor and Mark Fielding, Chief Executive of ISMI. Jack O'Connor, I know that you have made the point earlier this year that you believe it's time for pay to rise.
Yes, I think, and George, the trend is well underway already, actually, irrespective of what any of us say, because in the case, for example, of my own union, we have chalked up now about 175 agreements across the private sector, providing for pay increases averaging about an annualised 2%. Some are a little more, some are for a little less. They have been concluded by agreement and without recourse to industrial action or pressure. And we're faced with the challenge now, and we're taking it on, of proceeding into the across the economy now where we organise, and to assist workers to organise themselves to do that. That's also reflected in the experience of some of the other trade unions. Mandate is on the record as having reported increases extensively in the retail sector of the order of 2 to 2.5%. And of course, this is apart from the fact that it's the right thing to do, apart from the fact that it's about justice and morality, and about people recovering some of the ground that they've lost. It's also the right thing for the economy, because we won't achieve the levels of growth we need in our economy unless we grow domestic demand. And domestic demand accounts for 3/4 of the economy, and consumption accounts for more than half of the economy. And unless we can put more money in people's pockets and people's wage packets, we're not going to be able to achieve the levels of growth that are required to get back on a secure trajectory. And it's simple common sense. That's the reality of
okay.
it.
Okay. Mark Fielding, is simple common sense, and it's about justice and morality, and now's the right time. But you've been calling for a pay freeze.
And I think if we look at it with the backdrop of we're still borrowing, as a country, we're borrowing $1 billion a month. We still have 400,000 of our citizens on the dole. The smoke of the Troika still hasn't, you know, they've left, what, less than a month and a half ago. So the country, you know, is still struggling to get out from under the recession. So, you know, there are fragile signs of recovery. But to be looking for, I mean, the main thing we need to be doing here is getting our citizens back to work rather than increasing the wages of the people who are lucky enough to have jobs at the moment. So looking for wage increases at the moment in the SME sector is just, you know, it's way, way too soon. I would say at least give the economy a year to get back into the swing of being able to hold its own out in the export markets.
Now, people will say to you they're waiting a long, long time. And just notice a story this morning in the Irish Independent. Again, it was Charlie Weston he's reporting about a report from the Central Bank done by an economist there called Yvonne McCarthy, where they had analysed the issue in relation to people who were in mortgage arrears. And they found that 65% of distressed borrowers were actually in a job, that the problem was falling wages.
Yeah, and, you know, it would be great to see take home. And this, we're talking about take home pay. rather than increasing
the
cost.
But it does suggest part of fixing the economy might be a pay increase, does it, or would it not?
Well, I can't see how we can actually fix the economy by paying ourselves more. I mean, we got into that spiral way, way back. That's what got us, or partly got us into the trouble that we got into.
No, Mark, that's not what got us into trouble.
I
now,
said,
Mark,
let's not be setting up straw men so that we can knock them down.
The reason we got into trouble was because our banks in 2003 had a net foreign debt of the equivalent of 10% of GDP, and by 2008 that had increased to 60% of GDP, and most of it was pumped into speculative investment and property.
And that's big wages, Jack, in fairness.
Yes.
I mean, there were very big wages
and bonuses too. As a consequence of the artificial expansion in the economy, of course, wages drifted up as well. We were living in a bubble. But the point to be made now, and it's a rational point, is that we actually won't get to the levels of economic growth we need to get to create the jobs unless we can grow domestic demand.
Fair enough.
And 2/3 of domestic demand is accounted for by consumption.
Fair enough.
And the only way to do that in a sustainable way is by increasing wages, because you can only do it by increasing living standards.
Mark made a point earlier that a problem is maybe take-home pay, and the issue isn't about employers necessarily altogether. It's about the government also. For example, now I looked at the figures this morning, and they're very easy to look at and to find, because you'll find them in the back of a budget anywhere, about how much it costs and how much the government takes as pay goes up. If an employer wants to give €50 of an increase to somebody nowadays in this country, they have to fork out, if this person is on just less than the average industrial wage, the employer has to fork out €117. The rest is taken in taxes of one kind or another. So if it's like that, if to give a worker €50, they have to fork out nearly €120. And you say the problem is the employer should give more. Maybe Mark has a point, it's about take-home pay. Maybe the government should give more.
The first thing to say is that if there are resources for tax alleviation, and the way to generate those resources is by growing the economy. And you can't grow the economy unless we grow consumption. And you can't grow consumption unless we increase wages. But if there are resources for it, then those resources should be deployed on assisting the people in the lower to middle income categories. And we could be thinking in terms of things like a refundable child tax credit, or we could be thinking of things like expanding the lower bands of the USC, because that would help everyone, but it would help lower to middle income people better, and they're the people who tend to spend their money. But the thing about it is there's you don't actually increase aggregate demand by cutting, for example, the health service, or by cutting the resources available for the Gardaí, or by cutting the education budget, because that money is actually in play in the economy anyway. So you're only moving from one place. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Maybe you could
make
a more productive use of it, though, some might argue.
As long as it's a play in the economy, there's nothing to be gained.
You can't increase consumption in the economy by just paying people more money. I mean, what we have to do is actually trade ourselves out of this recession. And trading ourselves, we have to increase our productivity and we have to increase our efficiencies. You don't do that by just handing people wage increases. As I say, what we need is to get more people. We have 60,000 jobs created. That money will start to go into the economy. And it is there's where the economy will grow. But not by just giving people more money. That is false logic, really, in the sense that, so in order to come out of this economy, we'll start paying ourselves more. We ended up doing that before, and look what happened.
No, we didn't.
So
we didn't. You're misrepresenting the facts. The fact of the matter is that pay...
But if you go back through the partnership,
unit labour costs in our economy have fallen by whatever way.
Hourly wages have actually remained stable, Jack, over the last six, seven years.
By whatever way. you calculated unit labour costs in our economy vis-a-vis our major trading partners have fallen by whichever way you measure it. You can measure it to 25% or you can average it at 17% vis-a-vis our major trading partners. There is space to increase the pay of workers.
But we still have a lot of unemployment, Jack. I mean, and people would say when you have surplus workers like that,
and the way, George, the key way at now, at this moment in our economy, to create jobs is to stimulate and grow domestic demand.
Which is the point you made earlier.
Because if you look back to the sustainable period of growth between 92 and 97, when there were 600,000 net jobs created in the economy, only 14% of them were due to exports. The rest was due to what happened in the domestic economy.
The economy has changed.
But Jackie, there's one point you made. You say that the type of pay increases that are being negotiated throughout the private sector are of the order of 2 to 2.5%. I think
annualized,
you said earlier.
Yes.
Annualised. Inflation's running at 0.2%. So you're saying to the likes of the people who Mark is representing, listen, we know that wage, that inflation and the cost of living isn't going up by 2.5%, but we're demanding that you give your workers increases
because,
of that nature.
Because the last thing we need is to fall below the line of deflation, because if we fall into deflation, and we're hovering very close to it.
But would you not end up in deflation because they'll end up going out of business and you'll end up with less jobs?
No, they won't end up going out of business. Look at what's been happening. Our job creation record in this country for 2013, when many of these agreements were being done, is not surpassed by any other country in Europe. We equal Estonia in relative terms. We're better than the UK. And the problem is that we need to get the part of the economy that accounts for most of the growth and most of the capacity to create jobs moving again. And in order to do that, we have to put money in people's pockets so that they can spend money.
Maybe Jack, it's not employers who have strangled that. Maybe it's taxation has strangled that.
We're not going to get the economy going again by paying more to ourselves. It's as simple as that. What we need is more people working.
It seems you're talking about the part of the economy that's going to grow.
The part of the economy that's going to grow is the SME sector. We cannot afford to be paying ourselves more in the SME sector. It's as simple as that.
Some of your members, Mark, are negotiating agreements quite readily, and they see the sense of it. And the fact
very, very few of our guys negotiating
because you're telling them not to, Mark.
Of course, we can't let our ideology take over from our logic. It's nothing to do with ideology.
It's to do with practical common sense. Employers around the country, 175 of them who deal with my union, have already sat down and negotiated agreements. And we're not talking about big rows or anything like that. We're just talking about having common sense discussions with employers where workers' right to be represented for the purposes of collective bargaining are recognised, and employers are making agreements, and they're not listening to people like you, Mark, who are telling them to sit on their hands and do nothing.
It's not sitting on our hands, Jack. What we're attempting to do here is to get the economy moving again. We will do that, as I say, by creating jobs. That's what the SMEs do.
Yes,
you mentioned the 93 to
99. People's capacity
to
spend
SMEs, money. It was in the SME sector where we actually grew those jobs. We will not grow jobs if we continue to pay ourselves above. In the SME sector, we have even legacy wages where we were paying mad money during the partnership, and we're stuck with that.
But now
we need to be getting more productivity,
Mark,
and we need to look at the tax wage.
When you issued your statement, I think it was about 2 weeks ago or a week ago, calling for a pay freeze for 12 months. What motivated you to do that? Is it that your members are coming telling you that workers are pushing for bigger pay increases, or that you're listening to what Jack is saying and has been saying for a little while now?
It's a combination of both. What we need to make sure of, and you also hear the big business lobby group talking in terms of, 50% of their members are looking at increasing wages over the next. That's maybe okay for multinationals and large business. For the SME sector, the backbone of the economy, as everybody knows, we just can't afford it. So what I'm listening to is I'm listening to the guys that I represent are ringing me and saying, we can't afford it. Can you just make sure that everybody understands this, that we cannot pay more for what we're doing? We are meeting opposition out in our export markets in the UK or across Europe, and in Europe we're meeting our UK counterparts who can actually undersell or undercut us on their exports.
That's where we're looking for growth. Export performance is about the best in Europe at the present time.
And it could be much better, Jack, if we just keep an eye on our costs.
And the problem is, well, is that as long as people like you are telling people not to do the things that they need to do to maintain good relations in their companies and to grow our capacity and to increase consumption in the economy, then we won't grow it at all and we won't create the jobs.
Well, we will leave there. I have no doubt that we're going to hear a lot of this in the months ahead. I think that the issue of pay is on a lot of people's minds at the moment, for better or for worse. Jack O'Connor and Mark Fielding, thank you both very much indeed.